Hi, welcome to Wake Up, the Truth About Alexa. I'm Lauren Johnson, founder of Alexa is a Human. On this podcast, you will hear true personal stories from people worldwide sharing the impact that Alexa as a wake word has had on them. You will hear expert opinions in fields such as technology, education, psychology, and more. We will dive into corporate ethics and responsibility, name bombardment, and how Amazon's choice to use a human name as a wake word is causing young children, teens, and women to experience severe bullying, sexual harassment, suicidal ideation, name changes, anxiety, therapy, identity erasure, and more. Thanks for joining us. Welcome, everyone, to our second episode of Wake Up, the Truth About Alexa. And today for our second episode, we have Michelle, who is here from talking to us from the UK. So Michelle, thank you for being brave enough to be on here. As a parent myself, I know that it's difficult to have this conversation and not necessarily something that you asked to be involved in or wanted this in the first place. So again, I appreciate your willingness to be on. And I will let you share your story. People are probably tired of hearing mine, so we'd love to hear yours. And you know, that's the idea behind this podcast, is to be able to understand what different people have experienced because of the wake name Alexa and what the impact has been. So if you want to introduce yourself, that would be great.
Yeah, so hi, so I'm Michelle, and I'm a 37-year-old parent of a little girl who used to be called Alexa because we decided to change her name. And I know that, you know, there's a few people who have been thinking about that. We actually did do that last summer. You know, mainly on the advice of her preschool teacher at the time, in the middle of the pandemic, we saw it as a good opportunity to sort of try and get away from something that caused me and my husband quite a lot of stress and quite a lot of anxiety. And basically just to talk about the impact that it's had on us as a family. I gave birth to my daughter in the June, and I was sitting one day changing her nappy on the mat, and it was about the October, so she was about 3 or 4 months old, and an advert came on the TV and it said our name, and me and my husband sort of both turned to each other and said, "What is that?" And he said, "Don't worry, it's something that'll pass, it's nothing." And to be honest, it wasn't anything for a long, long time, until a couple of years later when the aggressive marketing really started. And then that's when it became a bit of an issue for us.
Was it a series of events that became an issue, or was there one breaking point, so to speak, that you just said enough is enough?
Well, as I said, between 2016 and 2018, you know, we were aware of it, but we weren't particularly concerned about it because, you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of these things that happen. A lot of people share a name with certain things, you know, with my name being Michelle, you know, a lot of older people from a different generation used to sing the Beatles song, "Michelle, My Belle," to me, and, you know, those sorts of things. And that never really bothered me. But it was when it got to Christmas 2018, what Amazon had started to do, I think if I remember rightly, was to give this product away with other things. So it was as if it didn't cost anything. It was dirt cheap prices. You know, you buy one piece of technology and you get this free. So it went from nobody having one to then absolutely everybody having one. So in 2 years, we went from people saying to me, "Oh, your daughter's called Alexa. What a pretty name." To, "Oh my God, I can't believe you've called your daughter Alexa. Like, you must be really cruel." Like, people would actually say that. You know, and we went to, we got a subscription for an aquarium that's quite near us. And, you know, you get your name on the card with your little photo. And she was only 2 at the time. And the girl said, "Oh, what's her name?" And I said, "Oh, Alexa." And then her surname. And she laughed and she said, "No, really, what's her name?" And I said, no, really, that is a name. That was the first one that really got on my nerves, for want of a better phrase. and then sort of progressively over that year, it became more about people saying things to me. So, for example, in the doctor's there's a big screen where your name comes up and her name, Alexa, with her surname would come up. And one time the doctor's receptionist said, oh, bless her for having that name. And I said, well, what do you mean, bless her for having that name? And she said, well, you know, she must get a lot of hassle, you know, because of the Amazon one. And I said, well, not really, but thanks for that. And then there was another time when we were in a shop. And by that time, I'd given birth to my second daughter. So I had a baby in a buggy and I had my daughter, you know, who in a shop when you're in a queue waiting to pay, you've got to tell your 2.5-year-old, come on, hold my hand. There's a lot of people around. We're in a crowd kind of thing. And then I said, Alexa, hold my hand while we're waiting to pay. And there was a dad and a young boy in front of us in the queue at that time. And the young boy kind of turned around and said to his dad, oh my God, that little girl's called Alexa, like our computer. And I just remember thinking, oh, yeah, okay, fair enough. But the big one for me was we decided in the Christmas of 2019, I decided that she was probably big enough to go to the theatre and then to see a pantomime and then to go for a meal afterwards, like a nice little Christmas tradition. So we were sitting in the restaurant after having been to the pantomime.
Yeah.
And there was a few members of my family there at the time. And then there was another family sitting not that far away from us, you know, at a different table. And, you know, I was saying, you know, Alexa, come on, eat your food and then you can have your ice cream afterwards. And this family just couldn't take their eyes off us. You know, they just stared at us. And the little children in the other family were saying, she's called Alexa, like my app. She's called Alexa. And, you know, it got to the point where I got a little bit unhappy about it and was giving the mother the look as if to say, stop your children from saying that now. And, you know, I heard the mother sort of say, oh, I feel really sorry for little children that are called Alexa at the moment, you know, with the device. And then 3 days later, the story, which, you know, I know you know about already, I took both of my daughters to see Santa. So by this time, I had a 3.5-year-old and an 18-month-old. And we walked into Santa's, you know, grotto and he said, oh, sit down, blah, blah. And he said, who have we got here? And I said my other daughter's name. And then I said, oh, and Alexa. And then he just said, and then he started really with it. And it got to the point by this point where it just caused me massive anxiety because I thought, what is the next person going to say? And then I was worried that she was picking up on my anxiety about what people were saying. And Santa said, oh, I bet a lot of people tell you what to do in your household. And she kind of, I mean, she was scared of Santa anyway, you know, she was only teeny. And she sat there kind of as if to say, well, I don't know what you want us to say to that. And I said to Santa, no, we don't have one of those. And he said, oh, well, would you like an Alexa for Christmas to go with the Alexa that you've got here? And we're like, no, we don't want one of those. Could you just get to what she wants for Christmas, please? You know, and I think after that, I think I went home and cried to my husband after that and said, I can't put up with this anymore. Because it got to the point where it was literally, it would happen on a daily basis that somebody would say something. And of course, it was me that it affected. It wasn't her because she was really little. But my worry was that she would pick up on my feelings about what people were saying to me. And so we decided when the pandemic hit, she was in preschool, and we decided that because she wasn't going to then be in education for a while, we had a good opportunity to change things, and that's when we decided to change it.
That's heartbreaking. Thank you for sharing that. It's heartbreaking because I have kids myself who have gone to see Santa, and while we didn't have that experience, I mean, as a child, you're looking at Santa as this magical person who will just fill you with joy, and that's the expectation. So to go and have that type of experience, that's so difficult. And like you said, just the day-to-day everywhere is it's really difficult. And you know, I hope people understand the emotion behind that. It's very emotional. It's something that that most people would think, oh, it's here and there and you can get through it and it's just teasing and it will pass. But like you said, and you can tell me if it's different, but I think it's inescapable. And you get to the point where you have to do something about it because it's beyond teasing and bullying. It becomes more of a name bombardment issue because it's all around you. And so you and your husband made the decision to change her name. How old was she when you changed her name?
So when we officially changed it legally, she was four. She had just turned four. You know, I spoke to when the pandemic hit and I realized that she wouldn't be going back to that. The hardest thing about it was she, in all of this time, she started preschool, so nursery or kindergarten, I think is your equivalent. You know, when she was three. And they, you know, I had a chat with the preschool teacher at the time, not about this, just about, you know, development of children and what they would be learning and all of that sort of thing. And at the very start, the preschool teacher said, we put a big emphasis on helping them learn to write their own name. It's a big part of their identity, is what she said. They said, we put their name up, you know, in and around the classroom so that they can identify their own things, so that they can start to take a little bit more responsibility for their own things. And it wasn't long before she was, and I had never taught her to do it, you know, it wasn't long before she had started to write her name. And it was really cute because she always wrote it with a capital A at the start and at the end. Even though they said, you know, you've got to write a little one at the end. It was quite characteristic. It was capital A at the start, capital A at the end with the rest of the letters in the middle. And when we decided to change it, my big worry was like, she has now created that as her own identity for herself. And I spoke to the preschool teacher about it and I said, this is what I'm thinking. I explained to her why. And as soon as I told her why, she pretty much said, I think you're doing the right thing. I think at this age, you know, a lot of the children are now being brought up with one. Therefore, it's more of a problem than maybe a child that's older or an adult. So we sort of just brought it in gradually and we told her that Alexa was a shorter version of Alexandra, but we also then told her that Lexi was a shorter version of Alexa. We then also had to try and make her understand and to try and take the focus off her because I didn't want her to be self-conscious about it. We also then came up with this little shortened version of her little sister's name, which I probably would never have done, but I felt like I had to do it to keep it equal. And she accepted that a lot more because I think initially she was like, well, why are you shortening my name and why are you not shortening her name? Like, what's wrong with my name kind of thing, you know? So, I saw the pandemic as a good opportunity while she wasn't around the other children to just get it changed. And then when she started school properly in September 2020, she could start with her new name, you know. And even though a lot of those children would have been the same children, the preschool teacher had sort of said to me, they will forget a lot of things in 6 months at that age, you know, when she can kind of start afresh. A new teacher will be calling her a new name and very shortly, you know, that's what she'll be used to. And that's why we did it. So it was July 2020, me and my mom, we went to the solicitor and we explained everything to him and he was a lovely man. And as soon as we told him the story, he couldn't believe it, but then he also totally understood, if you know what I'm saying. And then in the end, he actually didn't even end up charging us for the service because I think he felt a bit sorry for the case, you know.
What is the name change process like? Is it something simple? Is it complicated? What is it like to change a name in the UK? I know the process is in the US, but I don't know what it's like over there.
It was relatively simple, really. We had to go in and we had to have a meeting with the solicitor. We had to explain what it was for and why we wanted to do it. Then he had to create a document and I believe he had to send it away to the courts for the courts to approve the name change. And they then sent it back to him. And he then said that you would use this official document that we've now got called a statutory declaration. And we would need that going forward in order to change our passport. And he said that once that we had changed our passport, usually after that, it would become pretty easy because then most of our other documents would just come off our passport anyway.
What was it like emotionally for you, for her, for your family? What was it like?
It was really, it's been really hard on me and me and my husband, because we initially didn't agree about it. He didn't want to do it. He very much thought it would be something that passed. And I think because he wasn't, you know, as a mother, and especially then when you have another one and you're on maternity leave and you're with them all the time and you're the one who's taking them to sort of little play groups and appointments and everything like that, you get to see and you get to hear most of what's said. You know, my husband was at work every day and it didn't really, you know, he didn't really hear or see a lot of what was said. My own parents as well, so obviously my daughter's grandparents, they were aware of it. They were very aware of it. And I think they didn't want me to be upset about it. They didn't want her eventually to be upset about it. I mean, so they were very on my page. They were very, very supportive. She herself, she doesn't know that we changed it. She has no idea that we went to see a solicitor and changed her name. She just, all she's aware of is that one day we decided to shorten her name to Lexi. And then gradually after that, we told her that the longer version of her name was Alexandra. So we took the approach of, if we just don't mention it, then maybe she'll forget about it, because she's so young that maybe that would happen. That's what the preschool teacher's advice was. It's been a long time now since we've mentioned anything to her about it. However, she's still never really seen the technology. The couple of people in my family who do have one have obviously never called it that. They've always called it something else. There were a couple of my friends who had children who were friends with my daughter who did have one, who have got one, and who did call it Alexa. And that did cause a few arguments, because I was really quite offended by that. Because I think, you know, in the world of technology that you're bringing children into, especially during a pandemic when nobody can go anywhere, the children will associate that name with the technology rather than obviously the person. It'll first and foremost be the technology, really. And that's the issue. I mean, yeah, ultimately close family have been very, very supportive. You know, people on the fringes are very quick to criticize and say, well, you're obviously a bit of a snowflake and, you know, you're obviously a bit overprotective. However, as time has gone by, there have been more people who, once they really look into the story or they have a look at some of the things that I've shared on Facebook personally, they'll say, I didn't actually realise that that's as much of an issue as it is. Because as you say, it's not, you know, if I take my name as an example, one of the things that really annoyed me about Twitter was when you try to have this conversation with people and you try to make people aware of things, one of the first things people say is, well, loads of people get teased about their name. And, you know, I could sit here and say that people singing Michelle My Bell to me bugged me, and I guess maybe did it. Not really, you know, because that was really the only thing they could say about it. And then it's like, well, what else can you really say? You can say that and then you can't say anything else. Whereas with this one, everybody has something to say if you've got one of the devices, because everybody talks to it on a daily basis.
Exactly. Everyone has their own commands for it. If you were to give a message to just people in general to be more aware of this or to take action of some sort, what would you want people to know and do?
I mean, I think really what we all want is we want Amazon to own up to a big, big, big mistake. However, that's probably never going to happen. I'd like to think it would, but I don't. I think people need to realize that it's also not bullying. I mean, I work in a school with 11 to 18 year olds, and I have done for 14 years, and I'm very well aware of how people can tease each other about names. I've seen lots of teasing about names, lots of bullying, you know, to do with names and to do with other things. This isn't bullying. This isn't somebody necessarily, you know, being mean. This is exactly what you said. It's just bombardment. I mean, if you think how many new people does one person meet in a day, and then a lot of those people are also going to have a wisecrack about your name, not because they're trying to be mean, but because they think they're being funny, and it's just not funny. And then that sort of becomes a part of somebody's identity. I mean, you know, for me, I took on the role of telling people what my daughter's name was because she couldn't really talk. And, this is my daughter, this is Alexa. And it got to the point where so many people were silly about it that I started feeling anxious about it. So, you know, I can't imagine what an older child must feel when they've got to introduce themselves. You know, an older child, like maybe your daughter, who has to introduce herself to people on her own. And, you know, I've spoke to a couple of adults about it, a couple of adults who are called Alexa, and they say to me, I totally understand why you would change your four-year-old daughter's name. I totally get it. I'm big enough to look after myself, but a four-year-old, no, she's not. So it's basically to just not, to say to the general public, to not dismiss this movement as some sort of snowflake movement, because it really isn't. And if they tried to understand it, they would understand that it is not a bullying kind of snowflake movement. It is definitely something serious that people don't understand.
Thank you so much. I couldn't have said that better myself. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think that's basically it. Unless there's anything you want to say to Amazon, in case there's any, you know, execs that happen to listen to these podcasts, is there anything you would want to say to Amazon before we?
Oh, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things I'd want to say to Amazon, but might be a bit too X-rated for our chat on here. You know, I tried my best to get in touch with them. I'm one of the people, you know, who emailed Jeff Bezos, although it's no longer him, and, you know, all of the other people that were involved in this, and you try to say it nicely, and you try to say, just look at what we're trying to tell you. You know, the hurtful thing is that I don't believe that they're bothered at all. I think they thought it was one of these things that would just go away. That kind of shows you the mentality of the people that you're dealing with, I think, a lot of the time. You know, and these days there's so much talk about being kind in the world. And this is just one of these examples where a big, big company has been totally unkind and then shows absolutely no remorse for it whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely. It's difficult to process, but thank you for your vulnerability and thank you for being brave, because you have to be in order to do this. This isn't something that is generally accepted right away. And so it's not an easy thing to put your face out there or your name out there and to talk about. So thank you. Thank you so very much. And I'm glad that we're able to talk face to face, because sometimes, you know, I'm able to interact online here or there, but with the time difference, and we haven't been able to connect. So it was so very nice to meet you.
Yes. Yes. And you. And like I say, I'm always around on Facebook. It's just, it's the Twitter one that I had to come off, because, you know, you see the name being just being ripped apart so much on Twitter. You know, it's become something that's in somebody's vocabulary. You know, you see all of these things where they'll have a picture of somebody feeling sad and they'll say, Alexa, play, and then, I don't know, whatever sad song. And I just don't know when it became a part of English vocabulary. And that's the worrying thing about it. It's, you know, it's just a word to people, whereas it's a name to us.
Right, exactly.